Understand. I've got more names than they said Carter's got pills or something.
Well, understand. Well, can you hear everything okay? Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, I was making sure that I got this all recorded. I want to make sure there's no technical hiccups or anything. But hey, how you doing?
I am doing great. Despite the rain, which I'm in West Virginia right now, I'm in Nitro at my dad's, and despite the rain, I'm doing great because it actually ties right in with this theme.
You it know, does, doesn't it?
It's called Rain No Evil, yes.
Well, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the book. Is this your first book?
This is.
Yeah, how long did the whole process take you?
The actual events that I describe in the book, Rain No Evil, happened in 2006. And I didn't start writing it in novel form until about 5 years ago. It took me about 4 years to write and then getting the kinks worked out. So it came out just this June.
So this is a decade in the works, pretty much.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
And the transformation that I've made over that period of time has been nothing short of remarkable.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I know the book is called Rain No Evil, and you say that this is based on a personal experience that happened to you that sort of changed the way that you saw the world, right?
Oh, my gosh. It changed the way absolutely, the way I saw myself, the way I saw unperceived others.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a dysfunctional marriage, and I was very unhappy, and I got in the shower, believe it or not, and I prayed this prayer to God, and I'm like, you know, I grew up in church, so I wasn't really a skeptic per se, but I was just angry, and I think we all have a tendency to get really angry with God and blame him, whoever he is, for things that happen to us in our life that we're struggling with, and that's what happened to me. So I basically dared him to prove to me that he was real, and 3 days later, water was literally spraying inside of my home across the room. It would bust the light bulbs. It would shatter, set off the fire alarm.
Oh, wow.
We started seeing many paranormal things in our house that you can read about in the book, Rain No Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for weeks until I finally realized that there was actually a demon in my house. I saw one in my mirror. Yes. And that all sparked just a revolution inside of me that made me change the way that I was dealing with things in my marriage. I'm since divorced, but it led me on a path of self-discovery, and it's been a very wonderful, enlightening journey.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I can't really imagine going through all that, but that was here in Mason County, because you are from Mason County originally, correct?
Yes, I am. I taught high school in Mason County many years, about 20 years, most of which was at Point Pleasant High School, some of which was at Wahama High School. So I've just recently remarried, and I moved to Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And also part of that story was that I had attachments of this evil, many attachments to me, to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even aware of that until I started seeing someone who was able to liberate me from those forces that had attached to me. The book is available at the Mason Jar. They're locally in Point Pleasant.
Oh,
it's
right
also on
Main Street,
Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just came out on Kindle last week.
Oh, wow. There you go. You got it on all sorts of different formats for you. And now, do you chronicle, you say you had evil attached to you and you had to go through a certain process to get rid of that. Do you chronicle that in the book?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because that was definitely a major part of my transformation, just going through. At first, who's my ex-husband now, he thought it was crazy because, you know, we're trying to find someone to tell us where this leak is in our house.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't making any sense. There was no busted wall. There was no water leak. We thought there was a water leak, and we had called plumbers, and we had upwards of probably 40 to 50 people through our home. And we had lived in this home for 8 years and never had a problem. So we knew that it was not a result of, just basically moving into a haunted house. That was not the case. And I didn't originally tie it to my prayer, but I did after the revelation to me that this was a demon in my house, I did tie it to that prayer and realized that was my answer. Although as bizarre of an answer as it was my answer. And I do talk about the attachments to me in the book as well, yes.
So it wasn't just a matter of being on an old Indian burial ground or something. This was something attached to you.
Exactly, yes. I had a friend who we had had the exorcism of the home, and actually we all became Catholic, and that's where I was going with that. My ex at the time thought I was crazy until it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all became Catholic, the whole family, for several years. That actually seemed to help the relationship a little bit, but I was still unhappy, and I went to a lady healer. She is you might have heard of energy work, Reiki, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like crystals and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's much more prominent in places like Columbus and bigger cities. But she's from Charleston, West Virginia. And I saw her up on the recommendation of a friend, did not realize I had attachments of any sort to me, and found out there at her place that I actually did, and what she was able to liberate me from those. And from there, my whole world just opened up, and many things appeared different.
I have so many questions. This is a super interesting story. Well, firstly, just to back up just a hair, you converted to Catholicism after you had a priest come to your home and exorcise your home?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, how hard is it to find a priest to come exorcise your home?
You know what? I just was at Barnes & Noble in Columbus at a book signing there, and one of the gentlemen that worked there had actually participated. His father was a Greek Orthodox, and he had actually participated in an exorcism of a location, a farmhouse. And he said that the people had called them because the Catholic priest up there would not do it because the people were not Catholic. I fortunately did not have that problem. I had contacted a local priest who was from Palmyra, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I have changed his name in the book as well as many other names in the book just because everyone's not as comfortable with this, and he really didn't want bombarded with questions. But he is still around. He lives in Ohio actually part of the time and in Florida part of the time. But when I contacted him, he actually got permission from the diocese to do the house exorcism. He did not initially just jump in and do an exorcism, though. He actually came and did a house blessing first because he was very conservative and did not want to jump to the conclusion that it was necessarily evil. Mm-hmm. He thought possibly it's just a restless spirit, as they would say, a ghost, someone who's passed on, but that was not the case. It actually took the exorcism to boot the thing out.
Oh, wow. And so from then, you still felt plagued, and that's why you went on to the more New Age healer, I suppose is how you'd say that?
Well, actually, that's probably what you would call the energy healing that we do. Mm-hmm. It is pretty much, I guess you'd say, New Age. But I didn't necessarily feel plagued, but I definitely felt I was still unhappy. There were things still in the marriage. The relationship issue is a driving force in this story, mm-hmm. for sure, because that was, and I had to get into a lot of personal things in the book because for readers to relate to what I was going through and what, everybody in the story, really, I tried to tell it from multiple perspectives as much as anybody can. I had to get into the personal nature of it. Mm-hmm. But I definitely did see an energy healer because I was still unhappy.
Oh, man, this is super fascinating. Well, you got to write from where you come from, That's, I guess, the foundation for a lot of good books. And if you were a teacher, I'm sure you did a lot of reading. You've probably been a lifelong reader. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, yes. I've always loved to read.
Well, I guess just to move on from the slightly paranormal there, what are your influences as a writer? Do you have some favorite authors or books or recommendations?
Oh, I haven't. I've been writing so much. I told you I'm doing the radio show, mm-hmm. and I write for the local paper there, a weekly column. But I haven't gotten to read as much as I would like. But I do have one of my favorite books is actually called Left to Tell. And I forget who the author is, but she was actually a Rwandan refugee who survived the Holocaust in Africa, and it was an amazing story. It's called Left to Tell, and I just love the story part of it, not necessarily that the writing is any particular, style or whatever, mm-hmm. but I do like that story.
Wow, this is pretty interesting. But man, you got a lot of stuff going on. I want to make sure we get to all this because we're just about at 10 minutes already. But I'm pretty interested by everything you're saying. But you also you write for the Point Pleasant Register. You have a weekly column there, correct?
Yes, I do, and it also is in the Galveston Tribune and the Daily Sentinel.
Oh, okay, fantastic. And you say that sort of loosely goes along with your style of writing, or is it just about I'm not sure
it's
exactly.
Actually, it does. It does because it ties into what I became interested in through the energy healing that I experienced and through the entire experience of what I described in Rain No Evil. After going through all of that, I became very interested in looking at things differently, looking at myself to change my world, that sort of I guess, approach to life. Mm-hmm. I started looking at, you know, the positive things. What can I change? You know, I can't change anyone else, that sort of feeling. And so I call I don't call my column anything in the newspaper, but it definitely ties in with the radio show that I do, which is called Life Speaks. Mm-hmm. And I base that on the premise that life speaks to us, and we just don't always listen. There's coincidences. Like I told you earlier, I think we all have that breadcrumb trail that we just don't always notice is there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we're so lackadaisical with noticing it that the birds come and eat all the crumbs up before we have a chance to follow them, kind of. And we need to start listening and pick up on things, and those clues are there. And I'm sure God was speaking to me before that nasty prayer in my shower. I have no doubt that he was probably telling me everything I needed to know before removing the protection and allowing in the evil to my house and into my life. But I was not listening. And so I'm trying to get the word out to other people to listen.
All right. So more than just a story of a paranormal or something like that, this is a tale of self-awareness, self-growth, that sort of thing. I mean, is
absolutely.
That okay? I want to make sure that's the way to say that.
Well, transformation, right. Absolutely.
Well, all right. Well, the book is Rain No Evil. You can get that on Amazon and Kindle. It's Rain, like what's going on outside, R-A-I-N, if I can spell the words, by Michelle Zirkel Markham. You can get that on Amazon. You can get that on Kindle. You can get that at the Mason Jar here on Main Street in Point Pleasant. Where else do you get it? Do you have a website?
I do have a rain site. I have a website, and it is rainnoevil.com, and you can also purchase it on there, and I will ship it to you from my distribution center out of my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have a few books left. Sales have been great. I've sold around 500 now. That's great for just doing local areas.
Well, heck
so
yeah.
Far in Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I do, and I'm so thankful to be able to share the story because it was life-changing for me.
Well, absolutely. So you have a weekly column for the Register and the Tribune and the Sentinel. You have your own radio show as well. Let's get a shout-out for that. How do people hear you on the radio?
They can go to lifespeaks.info to hear the podcast from it. If you want to hear it live, the times are listed on there, and I know they've just bumped up and they've changed the times because they wanted to put me, which I'm thankful for, in a more prime spot. I know that it airs on Wednesdays live on, it's called ontheairradio.com. Mm-hmm. And there is a link to that. I think if you type in actually Appalachian Independent Radio, because that's what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So it's ontheairradio.com, and it is on Wednesdays, I believe at 1 o'clock or 1:30, and it airs, like I said, there's several times that it airs, but if you go to lifespeaks.info, you can see the times on there. It is listed there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and you're going to be joining Tom Payne in the morning. Is that correct?
If he wants to interview me too, I would love to.
Oh, okay.
He mentioned he may talk to me as well. He wasn't sure what was going to happen tonight. So I'm really glad to be able to get on with you tonight. And I know that Halloween's over, but it is never too late for a scary story, and especially a true one.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's the best kind. I mean, that's kind of what we're getting to be known for down here in Mason County, is a little bit of the weird. So got to support that. Got to support all our local artists, even outside of country music. So I appreciate you calling in, and anything that you ever have going on, you definitely get back on here, and we'll try to give you a good shout-out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I did the Mothman Festival there with Jeff Wambly. Of course, I taught with Jeff for years, mm-hmm. and that was fun. That was a blast. That place was packed and
rocking. Oh, my goodness,
on
was
Saturday.
It ever. Yeah, it was. I was down there, and I didn't. You know, when you go somewhere here in Mason County and you don't see anybody you know, but the place is crowded, that something good is going on. Because normally, you know, you go to the regatta, you see 17 cousins you don't want to see. I went to the Mothman Festival, saw 5,000 people, didn't know one of them. So I thought that was pretty. It's pretty good for Mason County, bringing people in, things like this story. I think it's pretty neat. I think it's pretty cool. So definitely check out rainnoevil.com. Author Michelle Zirkel Markham. You got too many. Too many syllables in that name. I keep wanting to mess it up. But thank you very much. Why don't you stay around on the phone, make sure we get all this wrapped up all right. And I'm going to send it back to the latest and the greatest. Any parting words from you?
Oh, no. Just everybody out there, just keep listening, because you never know what you're going to hear. Aww. And be careful what you ask for, because it might come your way.
All right. That's good enough advice for me. I appreciate it very much. Stick around on the phone. I'll be right back with you. But right now, it's time for Tucker Beathard, Mama and Jesus.